attend. The pattern of the prayers. We are coming very soon to what is the pattern of the prayers. But first, remember this point that akaf plus adab. So when the Sharia says that you have to follow, you have to pray in the fadilat time, it has benefit. Akhir waqt mein namaz padhne mein koi nuraniyat insaan ke qalb ko nahi milti. There is no noor. The prayers that you pray in the last moment does not provide any noor to your qalb. If you want to have nuraniyat in your qalb, you have to pray in the fadilat time. You get the most out of it. So we should always try to, to pray in the beginning time of fadilat, unless if there are some justifiable excuses, there's somebody drowning in the river, for instance, you've got to save his life and it took 1 hour to save his life and the fadilat time went away. Well, that's fine, it's a justifiable excuse. Any justifiable excuse. And Ayatollah Nurma Sayyid Qazi Tabatabai Rahmatullah, very, very great personality, one of our precious few greatest personalities of the history. He was the big arif of his, biggest arif of his time, and also he was one of the biggest arifs of his time, and he was the teacher of Allama Tabatabai Rahmatullah Alayh. So, Sayyid Qadi Tabatabai Rahmatullah Alayh has mentioned that whoever always prays his five-time prayers on the fadilat time, but he still could not reach the paqamat of the soul, he should send his la'nat on me. That this is something impossible for us to not to reach. That's what he's trying to say. So if you want one easy step to reach the maqamat and levels of your spirituality, to get to the high levels of your spirituality, one easy step, always, always pray on the fadilat time. Just do this one thing in your life. Just do this one thing in your life, always pray the five times prayers on the fadilat time. You are bound to reach the spiritual levels which we call maqamat. And if you couldn't, he says, you should better send la'nat on me. So that's something impossible. There's no way you won't reach the maqamat. And no one ever reached any maqam and level in spirituality without praying in the fadilat time. And if everybody who reached the maqamat, they reached through this. So there's a difference in ilm al-irfan between the maqamat and in ilm al-akhlaq, between maqamat and ahwal. Halat and ahwal of the soul is different, and maqamat are different. Ahwal are God-gifted levels, whereas maqamat are the earned and iktisabi levels. So we are talking about maqamat right now. And this is my teacher, Qulayl Ulma Jawadi Amuri Fadullahullah. He is the student of Imam Khomeini, one of our great Khulafa' right now. So he said that the sir and secret of every ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually Ru'yatul Ma'bud. That means seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you reach the secret of every ibadat when, by performing that ibadat, you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, through the eyes of your iman and your soul. Allah is not a body that you can see with the physical eyes. That's very obvious. But the secret and sir of every ibadat is certainly Ru'yatul Ma'bud. And now we have the last segments of the discussion, which just a little a glimpse how our Khulafa have a look on the prayers. How do they look at it as a prayers? Salat in the Khulafa. That's prayers in the eyes of our Arif scholars. as an etiquette how to be in the presence of Allah and His Majesty. By praying, Allah has given us the opportunity that through our prayers we are eligible to be in the presence of the Jalal of Allah and Majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It personifies the walayat of Ahlul Bayt and walayat of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by rejecting the ta'ud. Right from the beginning of your prayers when you say Allahu Akbar, till the end of your prayers when you say Allahu Akbar, you are basically packaging your prayers with the supremacy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by denouncing every false god and every false government that can stand in the way of obedience of Allah. The whole namaz and prayers personifies the walayat of the awliya and beloved servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it can never be accepted unless and until you reject the ta'ud first. So those people who support the ta'ud and still come up and pray, basically they are wasting their time. You know, just like the people praying behind Yazid. Yazid leading the Jummah prayers, he is drunk, leads the Jummah prayers on a Friday. What do you call the prayers of those people who are praying behind Yazid?
Well, yeah. But the more disturbing part is that Yazid is Yazid. That's the way he is. He is drunk, he is a criminal, he reads the Jummah prayers on a Friday, and he is also drunk. What happened to those people who are praying behind Yazid? They are the ones who made him Imam al-Jummah. If those people, those stupid, you know, evil people are not ready to pray behind Yazid, Yazid kisko jaake jamaat par aata agar log padhne ke liye taiyar na hote, farishton ko padhata? Farishton ko nahi aayega Yazid ke piche padhne ke liye. There were some stupid and evil and jahil people who were praying behind Yazid despite the fact that he is leading his Jummah prayers on a Wednesday because he is drunk and the people are still so evil that they are still ready to pray behind him. So they converted Yazid into Imam al-Jummah. And the same is happening today. There are some whole bunch of people who are supporting the Tawud, and that's how the Tawud is strengthened. It doesn't happen by one person or two persons, it's a collective teamwork. So prayers teaches us how to support the walayat of Ahlul Bayt and how to reject the ta'ud, because without that it's not acceptable. It teaches the tawakkul and i'tibar and reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every manner of our life. It is taking care of the rights and hukuk of others. That's how the scholars take it, that every prayers teaches you to take, because your prayers are not accepted unless you fulfill the hukuk of nas, rights of the humans. So basically your prayers itself is wanted to clean you from all the mazalim that a person may have done towards the people. It teaches the etiquette, how to behave with imam, how to stay quiet under the imam and the leadership of a leader. See, when you are praying, you cannot speak loud. Speaking loud is makruh. There are some people, they speak loud, you know, Imam has ended the Surah Al-Fatiha, they say, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. You are making your voice heard to the Imam. This is against the etiquette of the prayer. You missed the concept. This is makruh in Islam. Nothing of your voice should reach the voice of Imam. Let him speak and you listen. This is what Allah is trying to teach you. He is the Imam, you are the Imam. Unless you get to his level, don't speak in front of him. Let him say, and you listen to him. This is what prayers is teaching us. An Imam is standing in the mihrab. Halka, ala wa wasila. Wo maqam ke jahan se hame halk karna sikhaya jata hai. Oh, there are so many centers who have converted the mihrab into a place of support of Tawud. This is against the concept of the whole, why the Arabic we call it mihrab? Ye wo jagah jahan se hame halk karne ke adab sikhaye jate hain, usko humne kahan tak pahuncha diya? Namaz e imam e juma, it is mustahab for imam e juma, you know, ke wo aslaha pakad ke khutba de.
ناف پکڑ کے خطبہ دیتا ہے. دلیل اسلام تلوار زمانے میں تلوار تھی تو ناف پکڑ کے خطبہ دیتے تھے. آج اسلامی جمہوریہ میں بندوق پکڑ کے مشین پکڑ کے خطبہ دیا دیتے ہیں سارے کے سارے امام جمعہ. اور ہمارے پاکستان انسان میں ڈنڈا پکڑ کے دیتے ہیں. تو ظاہر ہے کہ جو بھی ہے مگر بہرحال اسلحہ تو حکومت کا قائم ہے. تو کہنے کا مقصد یہ ہے کہ اٹ ٹیچز اس ہاؤ ٹو بیہیو ود دی امام, ہاؤ ٹو لرن اوور ایتھکس. This is the basics of Islam. You need to learn your etiquette in front of the imam. If you cannot behave yourself in the front of the local imam, how would you behave yourself in front of the imam of the Islamic Ummah, who is the deputy of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam? How would you behave towards the imam of the whole universe, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam? So basically this verse is the step number one of our training session, how to be good, how to learn well, how to learn our etiquettes towards the imam of our time. And don't even perform any step of the prayers before the imam. Don't go to the ruku before the imam goes. Don't go to the sajda before the imam goes. Don't do anything before the imam does any part, segment. Don't go to the next segment before the imam does that. And not just that, but the same Sharia, let me say the statement, the same Sharia which says if you add the ruku, intentionally or unintentionally, ruku is batil or rukni, your prayers is batil. Unless if you are in the jamaat, if you raise your head before the imam, imam is still in the ruku. You have the right to go back into the ruku. So that let him raise his head first, although you may end up in doing two rukus, which makes the salat batil, but it will not become batil for the ihtiram of the imam. Ihtiram. So this is how the prayers are teaching us how to behave with the imam. So it teaches us consumption of proper food, because if you have haram food in your stomach, your prayers is not accepted, your dua is not accepted. Those people who consume haram, their prayers are of course, none of their prayers are accepted. The prayers teach us to be very significant about our food. I don't have time to elaborate. It teaches us morality in the husband and wife relationship, as the salat of the one who annoys the other party is rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the husband annoys the wife or the wife annoys the husband, of course the salat is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It teaches us the tawakkul and on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the training of discipline and nazm and doing things in your own turn and in the sequence. And it also teaches us to increase in the knowledge, because without learning the knowledge of the ahkam and the rulings, the salat itself is not valid without the knowledge of the basic ahkam. So prayers are wanted to make us learn it. If we are serious about our prayers to be correct, we need to be learned. So prayers teach us how to learn knowledge. Number 10, it is a practical acceptance of the Lordship and Rububiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the only provider and mun'im, that means the blessing giver. So let's have a look at the prayers. We have this prayers of Imam Khomeini upon Allah alayhi.
We are talking about the Salat of Arafa.
So that's the way our scholars do for the
Salat of Ramadan. So the last segment of that is this prayer teaches us, it personifies the removal of every form of shirk associated partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every matter, and is a removal and a means of washing away the faults and mistakes that we perform, just like you do ghusl and take a bath in the spring 5 times a day. It teaches us the ta'zeem and respect of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no matter where you are, what are you doing, when the time of prayer arrives, you have to respect Allah and His ruling and stand for the prayers. It is a proclamation of a renewed relationship with Allah. Every time we pray, we renew our relation with a new life. And it teaches us the fear of Allah along with the eagerness and ishtiyaq towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is a fear, khawf and raja and ishtiyaq combined in the prayers. It teaches us the path to become perfect, away from forgetfulness, nisyan and ignorance, jahil. Prayers, it teaches us how to be away from nisyan and how to be away from jahil. And number 17, it is an escape from rebellion against the Creator. Any kind of bagawas and rebellion and tughyan, because when you pray, the most superior part of the human body is his head. And you are putting the most superior part of your body in the lowest possible place, which is the soil. Then you put your feet on. So you are putting the highest part of your body at the lowest part, showing how humble you are and modest you are in the presence of Allah, and crushing the tughyan and istighfar and the tadabbur and arrogance that a person acquires from the love of this money. And the more money some people gain, if they don't have the skate of nafs, the more they end up in having the tadabbur and arrogance. So this, the prayers is a means of crushing the essence of rebellion due to the money and rebellion due to the love of this dunya against our Creator. Number 18, it is an ascension and mi'raj of a mu'min if he is a mu'min. So every time we can reach ascension 5 times a day as a minimum. So it is a close, intimate encounter with the beloved of a mu'min, that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It gives us an opportunity to talk to the most beloved of ours, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For a mu'min, there should be nothing more beloved than Allah. So number 20, it is the best form of remembering and zikr and yaad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the mahbub. If you love your mahbub, you would even love the zikr and mention and yaad of your mahbub. Isn't that right? Mahbub ki yaad se bhi insaan ko lazzat milti hai, itminaan milta hai. If a mu'min loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, namaz and prayers is one of the best forms of zikr, so it engages you in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is your mahbub and beloved. Number 21, it is a means of closeness and taqarrub for those who are muttaqi and pious. So if you are muttaqi, this prayer makes us further and further closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every time we pray 2 rakats of prayers, we get further close. You pray another 2 rakats of prayers, we get further close towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every prayer gives you further opportunity to get closer and closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we are muttaqi. Number 22 and the last one is that the prayer is a means of ru'yat and seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is basically the goal of every mu'min and the sir and secret of every ibadah. we are the beloved servants of Allah, like the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, who are on top of all the awliya. As soon as Imam Hussain alayhi salam realized and knew that this is the fadilat time, the time of superiority in reward of the Asr prayers in the final moments of his life, under the sword, under the dagger of Shimr, la'natullahi alayh, Imam Hussain alayhi salam, he put his head in the sajda in the final moments of his life. So this makes us understand how Imam Hussain alayhi salam spent his whole life for the uplift of the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the kalimatullah, and the Quranic and Islamic value system, especially the prayers, because he has himself mentioned that Allah knows أَنِّي أُحِبُّ الصَّلَاةَ, that I love the prayers. So we say there was ziyarat to Imam Hussain, أَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ قَدْ أَقَمْتَ الصَّلَاةَ. We don't say to Imam Hussain, أَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ صَلَّيْتَ, I bear witness that you pray. We don't say that to Imam Hussain. Everybody was praying out there. Umar al-Qasab was leading the Jama'at on that side. And some of the people even said, well, kill Hussain ibn Ali quicker, our Asr prayers has become a qaza. So are we silly enough to just buy the zahiri apparent prayers of the people and consider doing them to be good and pious without the walayat of Ahlul Bayt? Which wali are you following? Are you following the walayat of the wali of your time, which is Imam Hussain al Islam in this case, or are you following the walayat and hukumat of Yazid? This is going to determine the value of your prayers. Coming back to the walayat, because in Islam, all roads lead to walayat. Somebody likes it or not, that's the way Islam is. Ashhadu annaka qad aqamta salata, iqamatu salat, installing the culture of prayers in the society, is very different than just praying. Everybody out there prays, you know. So many people pray. And even in those days, people were praying. Even the killers of Imam Hussain were praying. So that's not going to determine, nothing for us. Just the prayers is, hollow without the concept of walayat. It's not going to lead us anywhere. Imam Hussain has not installed the Quranic culture and ideology of salat and prayers in the entire society, the entire ummah, for all the generations to follow. That's one of the reasons why he deserves to be called and addressed, أَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ قَدْ أَقَمْتَ الصَّلَاةَ. Instead of saying that, أَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ صَلَّيْتَ, I bear witness that you prayed. Prayer is not that big of a deal. What is bigger is to install the culture of prayers in the ummah. This ziyarat is considered to be equal to the ziyarat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we have authentic hadith from Imam Sadiq al-Islam saying that whoever wants to do the ziyarat of Allah on Arsh, he should go for the ziyarat of Hussain. So the ziyarat of Imam Hussain al-Islam is equal to the ziyarat of Allah. No wonder why in Islam the walayat issue is the priority number one, because Imam Baqir al Islam has said, that is in Kafi volume 2, an authentic statement from Imam Baqir al Islam, Buni al Islam wa ala khamsin, Islam is founded on 5, ala salati wa sawm wa zakati wa sawmi wa hajj wa walaya. Islam is founded on 5. On prayers, al-salati, on the prayers, was zakati, on the Islamic taxes, was sawme, on the fasting, on hajj, wal walaya, and the walayat of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salatu wa salam, walam yunada bi shay'in kama nudiya bil walaya, and people were never called towards anything the way they were called
the way Islam has stressed upon the walayat issue, the way Islam has been calling people towards the walayat, there is no other subject in Islam where people were invited towards that subject as much as Islam has invited people towards the subject of walayat. So people were never invited towards anything the way they were invited towards the walayat. And then Imam Baqir says, فَأَخَذَ النَّاسُ بِالْأَرْبَعِينَ. Look at the behavior of the people. Imam says, what the people did, people, you know, they أَخَذَ النَّاسُ بِالْأَرْبَعِينَ. They took the first four. وَتَرَكُوا هَذِهِ. And they left this one. That means, يَعْنِي الْوَلَايَةَ. And in some of the narrations, Imam has said, that Imam, it has been narrated that Imam said, وَاللَّهِ لَا يَسْتَقْمِلُ الْأَرْبَعَ حَتَّى يَسْتَقْمِلُوهَا بِالْخَامِسَ. I swear to Allah, they cannot fulfill and perfect those first four things unless they perfect those things through the walayat. That means the prayers is not accepted, the zakat and khums and Islamic taxes and fasting and hajj, nothing is accepted unless if they want to take it to the perfection through the walayat and obedience towards the walayat concept of Ahlul Bayt. So that's why we say our salam, and we say our salam to the Imam of our time, Imam Mahdi alayhi salatu wa salam.
Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And our scholars say that whosoever prays in the Fadilat time, you have done the iqtida of Imam alayhi salam. Agar aapne Fadilat ke waqt namaz padhi, to aapne Imam ki iqtida ki. That means you followed the Imam of your time. And who is the Wali al-Asr, alayhi salatu wa salam, as-salamu alayka ya faqiyatullah. Let's all read the dua of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam all together.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allahumma kulli waliyyika al-hujjat ibn al-Hasan salwatuka alayhi wa ala adarih fi halihi s-sa'ah wa fi kulli sa'ah waliyyan wa hafidah wa khairan wa nasirah wa dalilan wa aina hatta tuskinahu arfaka tawa wa tumatti'ahu fiha tawila. Allahumma sadaqa Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Jesus, I put salawat for all the organizers of this program.
Thank you.